Shopping for a Browns fan during the holiday season, shop the biggest selection of apparel and merchandise at the Cleveland Browns Team Shop this holiday season. Visit the Team Shop at First Energy Stadium. Carly McCord did that from our staff to buy all the gifts for her family down in Louisiana to give them a little Browns love. And you had a good selection of stuff too, right?
I mean, absolutely. They had everything. T-shirts, blankets, sweatshirts, jerseys.
Whoa.
What jerseys?
Water bottles. Joe Hayden.
Any Flash Gordon?
Joe Hayden. No, I didn't get Flash Gordon. No. I got my dad Joe Hayden, got my little brother Joe Hayden, my mom, you know, cute little.
Was Flash show. Available? He sold out online. You can't get a Flash Gordon jersey anywhere.
One. I didn't see one.
But Hayden's a great choice.
Obviously.
11 a.m. to 5 p.m., by the way, 7 days a week to shop online at the Browns mobile app or shop.clevelandbrowns.com. You know what time it is. It's time to go into the Friday forecast, which is always a part of Call Your No Shot Friday, because we're not getting anybody calling any shots today. But
not a single shot called.
Not one
None.
Shot. We're shotless.
Shooting blanks. I'll have you guys call your AFC North shots, though, to start our Friday forecast. You've got Cincinnati hosting Minnesota, Pittsburgh in Green Bay, and also Baltimore at New England.
All right, I'll go with the Bengals to beat the Vikings. I think they can do that. They better. Steelers, I think it's going to be rough for them. Even, you know, without
Aaron Rodgers is out officially.
He's out for sure. Yeah. But I still think that they can do enough with their running game, Eddie Lacy, to be solid. Their defense was playing pretty well. I think the Steelers, I'm going to go with Green Bay in that one. I am going to pick Baltimore to beat a teetering Patriots team that's missing a lot with Gronk.
Yeah.
Without Gronk, I mean.
I'm going to go Cincinnati in an easy one over Minnesota. I am going to take Green Bay at home over Pittsburgh, and I'm also going to take Baltimore at home over New England. I think it's not just Gronk. It's the loss of Wilfork, Mayo. Too many losses, too much, and Baltimore picking up a little momentum. And they've always played that New England team very tough.
They match well with them.
They match up very well with them. And as they say, fight's all about the style. And I think Baltimore can come out on top and set up an interesting game in Cincinnati that in Week 17 to determine the AFC North.
That would be fun.
It would be a lot of fun.
Number four.
Be more fun if the Browns are in it.
No question. Yeah. I can't argue that at all.
I'm just reaching.
Guys, ESPN.com posted this question, and I thought it was really interesting. Who in your mind is a worse owner, Jerry Jones or Dan Snyder?
See, the only thing with the question that's that open is worse in what way? Because they're worse in different ways if you want to use worse as a standard. I don't think either one of them is actually a bad owner of an NFL team for this reason. The most basic thing that you want the owner of a team to do is provide the necessary assets for the people who are actually coaching the team and running the team. In the case of Jerry Jones, he's also general manager, and I think that's one of the big problems that exists in Dallas is because he's only accountable to himself there, and it makes it doubly harder for, I think, the coach. But they're both guys who want to win and have success and have invested heavily in their respective teams. Who, you know, you're Dan Snyder, and I've heard any, you know, North Turner who coached there and others will tell you, he'll give you what you want and need to win, but, you know, it just hasn't worked out. I mean, spending, he's the proof that you can't just spend your way there by buying a team in free agency, right? Buying players in free agency. For involvement and, you know, whatever, I don't know that I think my problem with Jerry Jones right now is the selection of maybe personnel and the coaching decision that he made bringing in Monty Kiffin. I've known Monty a long time. I think the fit and the lack of talent have both been problems for that team. And Jason Garrett to have, you know, the whole Bill Callahan calling plays thing over his shoulder has not been good.
Yeah, I think that, listen, Jerry Jones has had success. He built, in many ways, one of the great dynasties of football with the Dallas Cowboys in the early 90s. And I thought that, you know, you have to tip your cap to that. I think that success has empowered him now to be bold at times when he needs to defer to intelligent people around him. And he is the ultimate decision maker, so it all ends up lying at his feet, ultimately. And I think he's very culpable for the reasons that this Dallas Cowboys franchise has gone awry the last couple of seasons. And I think that that's why they are kind of mired in this mediocrity, and they're going to waste a great career that I think Tony Romo could have had for the Dallas Cowboys. So I think Jerry Jones right now is a little bit more of a danger, but still a better owner overall than Dan Snyder, because he has proven that he can win success, and he's had the success. But he's becoming, in my opinion, very much like Al Davis in a sense, as it went on in Oakland, where his vision and his version of what's going on and what it takes to win is not matching up with what's going on in the league.
And I just think he's capable of turning it over to somebody else at some point. I'm not saying he wants to, but the solution's there. Is hire the... I know you said, well, did he go down this road with Bill Parcells? To some degree, he did, but he never really let go of that GM.
And to his credit, for a brief period of time, I think he did that with Jimmy Johnson.
Yeah.
And then to his discredit, he decided he wanted to be
credit.
The guy again
he
and wanted the credit. And they butted heads and he lost Jimmy Johnson. I think Jimmy Johnson gets as much, if not more, credit for what happened during that period than Jerry Jones.
Oh,
but
yeah,
at least for a brief period of time, he was smart enough to let Jimmy Johnson do his thing.
Got to go back to that.
That's right. Number three. All right, yesterday ESPN's Todd McShay saying in his conference call that I happen to get a chance to be on that three quarterbacks right now have a higher grade than Geno Smith did at this point last year. Teddy Bridgewater, Blake Bortles, Johnny Manziel, with Derek Carr very close to where Smith is. Now, it's December 20th, but if I gave you a scenario where you could have one of those four quarterbacks for the Cleveland Browns, which would it be?
Right now I'm going Teddy Bridgewater first, and I'm really, as I started to look at him a little more, Blake Bortles is growing on me. He's a big guy. He's got a little Roethlisberger in him. He can throw a very good deep ball. He's growing on me, so those would be my top two. But Bridgewater, I think, is the most pro-ready to be a pocket-passing, very effective thrower of the football in the National Football League today. Manziel brings that intangible. He brings a little bit of that it factor. He's the kind of guy, when we talked about yesterday, somebody coming in and saying, get on my back, I'm going to lead us to victory. I think he has that in him. I don't know if he can physically withstand the rigors of the National Football League, 16 games year in and year out at his size. And there's nothing he can do. I mean, nothing he can do about that, unfortunately.
You are what you are size-wise. I would say the two best of that group in my mind would be Bridgewater and Derek Carr. The two best are in my view, as I'm ranking them. I think the thing with Bridgewater is that he's played at Louisville. Competition level will be some of the things that you want to check and kind of look at, even though you've got to separate that when you got to project beyond that as an evaluator. But I think, you know, there's a lot of good qualities to his game that maybe, as you were pointing out, might require a little less in the polishing, although it always is the case with a guy coming in the NFL. And then with Carr, I'm pretty sure he doesn't have quite a Bridgewater's arm, but he can throw a nice ball. There's certain throws that I think on the move and on the run he won't necessarily make for you that Bridgewater will. But I'll tell you this. Now, those are the two that I personally see there. It wouldn't stun me in the least if the Browns decided that Manziel was the answer because of all the intangibles that he has. And that there will be a fascination with him. It's not entirely unlike what was happening with Doug Flutie back in the day, where Flutie was that Heisman Trophy magic man, and despite those size questions that were there, he had everything except size, that he could play it and make plays and do this. But I'll tell you, what I don't envision Manziel doing is all that running and movement he does away from defenders and making plays between threading needles and all that. This is a whole different level athletically, and I think he will struggle with that.
And if you want to check out Derek Carr, this Saturday he plays USC. That'll be the best defense in terms of athletes that he has faced this season, and I think it'll be something, if you want to take a look at him as a potential guy for the Browns, watch that game and make your assessments there. I think it'll be a very important game for him to show, and I think it's going to be an important game for his draft stock, depending on how he does in that game.
And we're going to, just quiz of time, we'll skip ahead to number one. Call your shot, gentlemen. Browns, Jets, Sunday. Who's going to win, and what's the path to a potential Browns victory?
I'm going to look at this and say Jets. Jets, I don't know, not going to be a high-scoring game. So let's say the Jets get 21 and the Browns maybe get 17. So I'm calling the Jets win, and I think but if a path to victory for the Browns is that they find a way to get the ball in the hands of Josh Gordon, as we said, early and often, and try to exploit those weaknesses in that secondary that Marquise Gray gives us somewhat of a story that we had like Edwin Baker last week, and that Edwin himself is part of a more effective running. He is going to be a very busy guy from what I understand it. He will get the lion's share of carries and, you know, duh. And the last part of the path is they cannot get overwhelmed in the running game defensively. Defensively, they've got to make Geno Smith, the struggling rookie quarterback that he is, continue to look like a struggling rookie quarterback. Turn it over, get turnovers. I thought they would get turnovers last week. I called that with Jay Cutler. They got two of them, and it still wasn't enough. They ended up getting three, but, I mean, they got two interceptions. This time, multiple picks from Geno have to turn into success for the Browns.
I'm going to have the Browns win 13-10, shocking the world. I go with the Browns victory.
Nice.
13-10 over the Jets. I think that the key is to get ahead, try to limit Chris Ivory in the run game, force Geno Smith to throw the football, and that's the path to victory. Get to Josh Gordon early, get up early, and then play defense and make Geno Smith pass the ball. I don't expect this to be a high-scoring game, which means there's a good chance that it will be, kind of like that Jacksonville game where it didn't have the look of a high-scoring affair and all of a sudden turned into a shootout. If that happens, I do definitely favor the Browns because I think Jason Campbell is capable of scoring more points than Geno Smith. But I do think the Browns can eke this one out. It'll hurt my draft. It'll hurt my draft feelings a little bit, but we'll live with that
if they
win, because at least it'll be a happier Monday than we're used to.
I hope you're right. You and I mostly agreed. In fact, that we rarely disagree on our picks.
This may be the first time all year
that we've picked opposite on the picks.
All first time in a long time, anyway.
I'm so hoping you are the right one on this. All right. That's it, huh?
That's it. That's
Gerard
Friday
Cherry?
Forecast. Yes.
All right.
He's standing by.
He's standing by. Gerard Cherry, next. CBD.